Hey, Heart Steamers. This is series three in the Set It Up series, systems and processes that work in your classroom for using STEM or STEAM. Today is all about design thinking, and I can't wait to get to it. If you haven't already listened to the rest of the series, you can listen to the first set, Let Them Curate, and the second episode in the series, all about the engineering design process. So let's get to it.
Welcome to the iHeartSTEAM podcast with your host, Bonnie Kirkley. Bonnie has been working in the STEAM education profession for the past 12 years. Her mission is to share her story with educators like you that love STEM, STEAM, and project-based learning. Currently, she works with a team of educators creating the ultimate STEAM certified school. Let her share the good, the bad, and the joyful with you in her STEAM journey. Learn everything you will ever need to know about STEM and STEAM education right here. Now, here is your host, Bonnie Kirkley.
All right. So today is all about design thinking, and I feel pretty strongly that not many teachers are using design thinking in their classroom. Design thinking came to me later on my STEAM journey. I sort of avoided it, actually, to be quite honest with you, for a little while, and I'll tell you why. I was getting the engineering design process really going strongly in my classroom. And it scared me to switch and change the process that they were doing. And I do have to be totally honest that I feel strongly I made the right decision. We had not really grasped the engineering design process as something that we can just spit out like an extra attachment to our body. You know, it has to be something that you know backwards and forwards. For instance, if you play an instrument, you know, you've got that muscle memory when you sit down, let's say, to the piano, and your hands can move without you thinking about it very much. And we weren't at that place with the engineering design process. And this was probably 4 years ago. So I was nervous to introduce another way to think, but they are so similar, but very different in their action steps. I do believe that you get the same outcome from using either one, but I love the emphasis on some of the steps within design thinking. So let's just go through those steps real quickly if you're not sure what they are. First, we empathize. Second, we define our problem. And third, we ideate. Fourth, we prototype. And fifth, we test. And I do want to tell you that this, just like the engineering design process, is a cycle that is circular, and you can stop and start one step and go backwards and forwards within it at any moment. Sometimes that happens. You can completely go through the entire process in the cycle in order and then start back over. It really doesn't matter, and that's the great thing about it. That's where the student-led part comes into play. I'm going to take today's episode and break down each step for you and tell you some raw feelings about how I felt when I first started hearing some of these words and this process. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's get started with empathize. This is my favorite thing about design thinking. You create empathy for a problem before you ever begin problem solving it. I love that there's an emphasis on creating empathy, And I love that you bring that word to students and you help them to understand you want them to connect and you want them to have feelings for their problem. You want them to see that there's a need and you want them to feel deeper about it. This is where the ownership takes place. Now, in comparison to the engineering design process, empathy does happen with the engineering design process. They do get invested. They do have ownership, but you're not making them aware of it so much. They just know how they feel about it. So I love that design thinking teaches them how to feel and know they feel that way right at the beginning of the design thinking process. But then you have to ask yourself, now this is hard. Kids live in their own little bubble. They often have feelings for other things. They don't often realize what they're feeling, but what topics and things can they empathize with? So I've got a list for you, a list of 10 things, and there are so many more. This isn't the only list. But I've got a list for you of ways to create empathy with your students. So number one, which is one of my favorites, share it with a story and literature. When you tell a story, or you share a book, they begin connecting with characters, they begin connecting with the theme of the story. And all of those are elements and standards that we teach in our reading Common Core standards. So again, we have a plug-in for another subject right here. Number two is to watch a video clip. And this is totally another one of my favorites. I'm not saying watch a movie. I'm saying a clip. A minute or 2 minute clip can be so powerful. And I do believe that you can recognize that. Think about some of the most powerful commercials you've ever seen. The ones that just reach out and grab you. One on the top of my head are those doggone, I think it's Pampers commercials. I literally cry like a baby every time I see some of those where it's the middle of the night and they're singing that lullaby and it's the Pampers commercial. But that's what we're talking about, how powerful a video clip can be to create empathy. Number three, just use photos and images and identify emotions that students can see within the photo or image, or emotions that they're having because of it. Role playing and creating a scenario with students and to put them into another person's shoes is also another great way to create empathy. Share anything with animals. This is number five, kids love animals. If you can bring live animals into your classroom, like a class pet, they are going to have the most empathy for that classroom pet, and they'll do anything in the world to make life better for that pet. Have daily discussions, just raw daily discussions. When you have daily discussions with your students, you connect and you build a relationship, and you find out what they already empathize with. Create a classroom community with responsibilities in the classroom. Because when students have responsibilities in the classroom, they feel passionate about their responsibility and they begin getting a little haughty sometimes when life becomes difficult for their responsibility to take place. Number eight is to participate in random acts of kindness. You guys, I love this. I know most of us have tried this, but if you haven't, see what you can do by creating a random act of kindness day with your students and the joy that they will feel when they see smiles and laughter and gratitude coming at them from what they've done. Number nine is to make the community around the school or classroom better. If you focus on problems that happen around their school or around their community, they already have empathy for those places because it's theirs. So that's a great way to do it. And finally, number 10 is to teach your students how to disagree and understand that perspective changes everything. And that is what is wrong with the world this day and age. Perspective. We have a really hard time seeing beyond our own perspective and our own beliefs. We can all watch the same event happen and create our own belief and our own perspective that's so different than everyone else that watched that same event. So teaching students to be aware of this and to be considerate of other perspectives also helps to create empathy. All right, so moving right along, we're going to go to step two in the design thinking process, which is to define the problem. So students recognize that there is a problem. And something I really, really like about design thinking, this is at the highest level of inquiry that you can use with your students, because most of the time you are going to let this completely be student-led. You let them recognize the problem. You let them develop what they want to do, and you're not bringing something to them. You're asking them first what they connect with and empathize with, and then how they can solve that problem. So they actually really come up with their own problems to solve. So you define it. Who does this affect? Who all else does this affect beyond themselves? Where is the problem at? And why do we need to create a solution for this problem? So that's a really great way to define it. They may have to do a little bit of research. But research can also take place in the third step, which is ideate. And I have to tell you, I said I was going to be honest and raw. I was going through my STEM endorsement when I first heard the word ideate. And this is why I like to really teach and lay things out for you, the teacher. The person that did my STEM endorsement training asked me to ideate for an assignment. I had never heard that word before. I'm not going to lie. I'd never heard that word before. I even looked at some of my colleagues and said, is that a word? But it is. And ideate just means this is when we brainstorm. It's a new way for brainstorming. But I thought that this lady just pulled this word out of thin air. But what was troubling me was the fact that she said it so boldly and so confidently that she thought I should have heard this word before, and I hadn't. And that's why I want to break these things down for you. It's just a word. It means to brainstorm. And I'd like to interest you in visiting the IDEO website, IDEO, who really coined and developed design thinking and that word ideate. They have tons of resources there, and this is a community that has developed so many prototypes, solutions, and things that we use today. Very, very successful company, and I love their thought process. Then we move on to step four, prototyping, and I love that we use the actual word prototype. We teach our students what this word means, and we actually teach a word that manufacturers, engineers, scientists, artists, everyone who creates and designs makes a prototype. And I love, love, love that they finally get to understand this word, use it as part of their own vocabulary, and own it. And then finally, we go to testing. And I want to share with you that in prototyping, you may have already had to test something, maybe a step along the way with building that big prototype, and then you had to go back to ideate because something didn't work out or you needed to change something. So this is where you might start having to go back and forth between the steps. But the testing step, this is super important, and you have to make time for it. This is when we find out if what we've done has worked. And sometimes this might take a time period. You actually might implement something that takes a long time to see if there's a difference made by collecting data. So this is super, super, super important. And I also want to share with you that if you would love some free, wonderful resources for design thinking, there is no better place than Makers Empire. Makers Empire is a 3D application software that I use in my classroom for my students to design and build 3D prototypes that we will print on our 3D printers. You don't have to print and feel like you need to be so techy to do this. You can go to Makers Empire. I will link it in the episode notes exactly where you can get all of their design thinking resources. There's no need to reinvent the wheel here. They've done it and they've done a great job at it. Love Makers Empire, and they have tons of resources on design thinking for you and your students. So check them out. But that is design thinking in a nutshell. So let's go through those steps one more time. We're going to empathize. We're going to define our problem. We're going to ideate. Then we'll prototype. And finally, we will test. And again, you can go back and forth through those steps as much as you want to and in any order that makes sense to you. If you want some extra help in your classroom and setting up that ultimate project-based learning classroom that focuses on STEM or STEAM, go ahead and grab that free STEM guide that I have linked in the episode notes. Visit the iHeartSTEAM.com website, where you can also easily grab that guide and see many other resources available for you to use design thinking and the engineering design process in your classroom. I want to thank you for being here today. And as always, I have one question. Do you iHeartSTEAM too?